That's right. As Michael said, today marks 5 years since the catastrophic magnitude 7.0 earthquake hit Haiti, claiming over 200,000 lives. Today, 95% of the 1.5 million people who were in camps in 2010 have been moved, but many of them are still not in permanent housing. Adding to the difficulties in Haiti has been a devastating cholera outbreak introduced by UN troops, from which nearly 9,000 people have died. In addition, recent political instability under the administration of Michel Martelly, the country's president, has come with protesters demanding his ouster and that of his prime minister, who stepped down in December. Today is also the deadline for scheduling elections for a new parliament, and with the mandate of the current parliament expiring by the end of the day, the president will have the power to rule by decree. With us now from Port-au-Prince to discuss what all of this means is Kim Ives, a journalist with Haiti Liberté and a regular voice on the airwaves of WBAI. Kim, thanks for being with us from Haiti this morning.
Thank you, Christy. Glad to be with you. Hi, Michael G.
So first, tell us what you see there in Port-au-Prince this morning. Much of the U.S. media is asking the question, where has the aid money gone? A sort of indignant 5 years later, why are things still so bad? So I wonder, how much rebuilding has there been, and what are the conditions like for everyday Haitians today?
Well, Christy, let me begin by telling you where I'm standing right now. I'm standing in one of the poorest neighborhoods in the hemisphere, even on the planet. The area of Fort National in Port-au-Prince. It is a warren of corrugated tin and jagged cinder block houses in a basically a moonscape of gravel and piles of debris that remain 5 years later. This was one of the hardest hit neighborhoods. About 80% of it was knocked down. Where I'm standing now is where a house stood, and there's a jagged cinder block wall in front of me, which remains like a scarred reminder of what hit here those years ago. So when they talk about only 85,000 people remaining in camps, well, many of the people are living in this debris, in this rubble, which still remains 5 years later. It is a very dramatic situation for the population. That's why they are rising up today. After the illegal election, it has to be said, of Michel Martelly, an election that was only brought about through the intervention of the OAS at the behest, of course, of the U.S. The OAS is what Cuba calls Washington's Ministry of Colonial Affairs, and they were the ones who essentially made sure that Martelly was in. So we see really a political earthquake happening here in Haiti 5 years later. Yesterday, I was out in the streets of Port-au-Prince, which had a demonstration began at 11, and it went all through the city. Young men, thousands of them, mostly women, but there were, of course, all ages in there, demanding Martelly's resignation.
So as we mentioned, today is the day that the mandate of the current Haitian parliament is expiring. Late yesterday, there came word that Martelly had forged a last-minute accord with leaders of the four opposition parties after days of closed-door negotiations, possibly creating a viable path to legislative elections. What's happening on that front?
Well, those parties are essentially considered completely unrepresentative of anybody. It is UNITE, the former party of a former president, René Préval, Contrepep, an organization called Fusion, which is basically the largest, or claims to be the largest, social democratic party. In fact, Paul Denis, one of the leaders of Fusion, said they were forced to sign this document, saying that if they weren't, they were told that the country was going to be taken over by foreign troops. Well, where I'm standing here in Fort National, I can look through the little fingers of rusted iron rebar sticking out of the walls and houses and corrugated tin, and I can see Fort National, which was built in by the founder of Haiti, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, to protect against the invasion of foreign troops, French primarily, the former French colonialists of the island. But today it is a base for MINUSTA, for the UN mission to stabilize Haiti. And so they essentially are controlling the country militarily, 7,500 that remain, And this was precisely the force with which Paul Denis was threatened, that if they did not sign on to this accord, foreign military grip on the country would tighten.
So what's the likely outcome, no matter how this accord sort of comes together, what's the likely outcome of it? Will there be elections held in a timely manner?
No, I think this accord is not going to go far. This is just one more basically Washington orchestrated, in Haitian they call it a grimace. A Washington-organized piece of theater, which is not going to go far. I think the people are going to be in the streets today, again, here in the capital, Port-au-Prince, in Cape Haitian, I understand, as well. Miragoan, Okai, Hesh, the different cities everywhere. I mean, the country is standing up. And I think it's going to be very hard. Last night there was a meeting of the I could say, representative opposition parties, which are Montpod, an organization called Petite Dessalines, an organization called the Dessalines Coordination. Petite Dessalines is Dessalines' children. Mm-hmm. Dessalines, of course, was the founder who brought independence to Haiti and led the armies of former slaves up in their fight against the French. The first and last victorious Haitian slave revolution. So I don't think that right now the